We are here at the NAFB Trade Talk and the National Corn Growers Association booth. With me is Gary Niemeyer, who is...
I am president of the National Corn Growers, have been for a month and a half.
Now, Gary, you've been doing a lot of interviews already today with farm broadcasters all over the country. What are some of the concerns that they're having that they're asking you about?
Cindy, probably the first one coming to the top of my mind is the farm bill. Where are we? What's going to happen? And, you know, this is a very difficult thing. Passing farm bills in the past usually takes about 15 months and a lot of going to Washington, D.C. and testifying in front of different committees. And ironically, this one, if it happens, will be one of the quickest ever in history. But you also have the interaction of a deficit budget commission that's working to eliminate $1.2 to $1.5 trillion worth of spending. At the same time, you're trying to pass a farm bill. And you add that to a fairly decent price, high-priced crop year, and everybody thinks the farmers are flush with money, and it makes it pretty tough.
This year has been a pretty good year as far as agriculture is concerned, but a little challenging, especially for corn growers. We just had a new crop report out that shows a little bit of a drop still, but we're still looking at one of the largest corn crops in history.
You know, it's really amazing. When you look around the country, you know, I have friends on the East Coast that had a flood due to the Hurricane Irene. Guy Davenport on our board, he was just ready to start harvest. He had 20 inches of rain in 2 days. Chip Bowling is in the Maryland area the same way. Go down to Texas. They irrigated their corn. Corn was green. They went to harvest it and made 3 bushels of the acre because it was so hot. Even with the irrigation, the corn was green, standing quite well, but it just burnt the pollen. North Dakota, Minot, look at all the trouble they had on the Red River, Mississippi, and the flooding. Those people's whole farming careers were ruined. And when you consider all the adversity we've had with the new technology seed, here we are with the fourth largest corn crop. I'm thoroughly amazed. And you know, it's not just technology of seed. There's technology of fertilizer, technology of driving machinery. I don't know. I think the guy that works for me would quit if the GPS quit running. It's really amazing how used to these new technologies you get in a short period of time.
Well, one of the things that we've had going on this year has been USFRA, which National Corn Growers have been very involved with. How do you think that is working? How well is it going as far as getting out and telling the farmer's story?
We've been laying a lot of the groundwork here to get the message out to defend agriculture. And the thing that I am so excited about is not only do we have the grains, but we have all the meats and everybody working together on the same page for the first time, telling our story and making sure that we face all these negative advertisements that are not necessarily truthful. And this is the only way we have of really getting back and getting the truth out. And I think that you're going to see, I think that this is going to make a major improvement in the way we communicate.
Now, what about trade exports? We've seen, of course, exports continue to be, in the agriculture sector, the brightest spot for our U.S. economy. We just saw 3 new free trade agreements passed by Congress and signed by the president, finally, after 5 years. What do you see as the outlook for the export picture as far as corn growers are concerned?
Well, there's a lot of interest in China coming to our markets, and I think there'll probably be interest in other foreign countries as well. The thing is, 95% of the population of the world lives outside our borders, and we need to make sure we get our products out there. You know, Cindy, one of the things you have to do is you have to create markets and develop markets, and they can go away pretty quick, but it's the hardest thing to develop them. And now that we have had these 3 free trade agreements, I think it gives us the impetus to move forward to improve our infrastructure. And I'm talking about locks and dams on the Mississippi and Illinois rivers. The only way we're going to continue to keep our trade is to be a reliable supplier. And I think I heard just this morning or on the news that the Senate passed an infrastructure bill. Hopefully we can get some kind of impetus into that bill and start replacing some of these locks that were built to be 50 years old but are currently 80.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of markets that have been developed, one of those is ethanol, as far as corn growers are concerned. But one of the projects we had this year was American Ethanol and the NASCAR. How has that gone? How do you think that's helping as far as the image, I guess, of ethanol?
We have some figures come back through NASCAR. We have been at all the races. We've been promoting E15 in all three series. They have run over 1.3 million miles on E15 without one hitch. We have been going back over the advertising, and there are different groups that tell you how your message is getting out. And we're 71% acceptance. That's with 75 million fans throughout the United States. All we have to do is spend the time to get our message out. And you know, you think about it, look what's going on in the world. We've just got through watching Libya, all the North African countries in turmoil. Maybe even some, if we pull out of Iraq, maybe could be there. And look what's happening in Iran. We have to become self-sufficient in foreign fuel. And we're still 60% dependent upon foreign fuel here in the United States, where we have a lot of oil. And we're not against drilling for oil either. But even as we do that, we need to have an environmentally safe product, which ethanol is, and we don't get any of the credit for it, it doesn't seem like anymore. But when you burn ethanol compared to gasoline, you're reducing greenhouse gases by 59%. We need to continue to grow more, the ethanol market even more.
Regulation or over-regulation has been a big issue, and one of the very serious things that we're looking at right now as far as corn growers are concerned is the EPA looking at atrazine again because it's killing frogs. And this is a valuable tool for our farmers. What are we looking at there?
I have probably spent more time writing letters to EPA on atrazine than any one product. This has been on the market 59 years. Come on, give me a break. It's an effective chemical. And, you know, you look around, and there's a lot of chemicals that run out over a period of time. Not atrazine. It's been a stalwart. It works. It's inexpensive. It keeps the price of food reasonable and affordable for the American public. In fact, compared to the rest of the world, I think we're 9% of your disposable income goes to food. That is small compared to any other country you even want to compare it to, no matter where you look in the world. I don't know. I guess if you don't have anything else on your plate, you might as well work on that and excessive regulations. And I could say NPDES and dust as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, Gary, that's all the questions I have. Is there anything else on your mind? Anything else you want to add?
I want to thank all the farm broadcasters for getting our message out. That's very important. Look at all the negativism we have to fight on a daily basis, and it's because of you guys, and I'm talking about all of NAFB, of getting our message out. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Here with the president of the National Corn Growers Association at NAFB Trade Talk, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.